or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Father, plant that in us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The first point is clothe yourself with the character of Jesus. What are you going to wear to the Thanksgiving meal? You know, everybody knows what you're going to do. If you're going to play football in the afternoon, you're going to wear some jeans and some stuff. You can get all beat up, right? If it's going to be a nice fancy meal, you're going to dress up nice and fancy. But what are you going to wear spiritually? The Apostle Paul says, clothe yourselves with compassion. Do you know what moved Jesus? My Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. If you want to move Jesus, you need some compassion. Sometimes I have to go to the compassion store. I tell people I'm all out of grace and mercy and compassion. I got to go get filled up again. I wonder how many in here need to go to the compassion store today. But it says, clothe yourselves. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Here's the tough one. Patience. When will they get it? When will they be like me? Isn't that what we say? But it says, put it on. Clothe yourself with the character of Jesus. Your goal when you walk out of your house, when you're in your house, is to have the character of Jesus in you. That's why Paul says, get rid of all these other things. He says, get rid of them. Take them off. That's who you used to be, but you're not that person anymore. Clothe yourself with these things. It's the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your next point in your outline, love as you are loved. If you're looking in Colossians, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Isn't it something? Right away, the Apostle Paul says, you are loved. It's an important thing today that you know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't send Jesus because he didn't love us. That's why he sent Jesus. And it said, you are loved. And then later on, it tells us to put on love, which binds them all together. I think of it as an overcoat. You know, you put all these other things in, compassion, humility, gentleness, kindness, and then you put this coat of love on and you wrap them up. And I'm here to tell you, when you get there and you take that coat off and you hang it up and all that other stuff comes out, they're going to go, who is this person that came to dinner? So love as you are loved, all right? In Matthew chapter 22, it's very important. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You talk about a summary of the gospel. First of all, love the Lord your God. It's the point we just made. Love as you are loved. How you doing in the love department today? Sometimes we need to get filled up, don't we? But you are loved by God, therefore you love the people that you come in contact with. If every problem in the world is a relationship problem, then we need some love in this world to deal with it. Turn to your neighbor and said, that was the easy part. Ready for the next one? It's in the text. These aren't my words. I'm just following the scripture. Forgive as you are forgiven. Forgive as you are forgiven. It's So what he says right here in the text, see, forgive as the Lord forgave you. If any of you has a grievance against someone. You go to a family gathering and that person that owes you money is there. Take them out back and forgive them. I don't know, that just came into my head. It sounded pretty good, didn't it? Just take them out back and forgive them. Forgive as you are forgiven. I think Jesus says this in such an amazing way in Matthew chapter 6. You know, his disciples say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he says, oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's the most wonderful prayer. And then at the end, if I could take verses 14 and 15 out, I would still love that. But listen to what it says. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now listen, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ouch. Just let that soak in for a moment. If you don't forgive, if you hold them bound, right? I think it's chapter 20 of the Gospel of John where he says, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound, they're bound. Do you know that you have the power to set someone free? If you forgive in your heart and in the spiritual realm, they're set free. And then they can come and they can reciprocate that forgiveness. But if you hold them bound, the swords are clashing in the spirit realm, church. And one party, it should be the more mature Christian party, should let it go. They were some of my dad's favorite words. He would say, life's too short, let it go. Jesus says, if you forgive, then your Father in heaven forgives you. If you don't forgive, your Father in heaven doesn't forgive you. Ouch. Now, I want to stop and say here, you know, you still need boundaries. If someone has hurt you, if you're in a dangerous situation, you can forgive, but you don't have to stay in the situation. If you lent somebody money and they didn't pay you back, forgive them, but don't lend them money again, okay? Is that okay? You see, you earn the trust. If someone has harmed you, let it go. Forgive them. Turn them over to God, but don't go back with them until they come with a humble heart and they ask for forgiveness. And until you see fruit in their life. Is that okay? Is that understood today? But in relationships, forgive as you are forgiven. You see, the problem here is we don't always remember how we're forgiven and what we've been forgiven from. One of the things that just hits me all the time is people will curse in front of me and they go, we are so sorry and all this and that. And I say, you know what? I'm glad you understand it's wrong to use the Lord's name in vain. But I was with you for years on that one. And I understand what it was like. And so ask the Lord to forgive you. You also need the Holy Spirit to stop that filthy tongue. And he stopped mine, and he can stop yours. See, forgive as you've been forgiven. Boy, when I hear that kind of language, and I want to go, what are you thinking of? And then God says, remember what you talked like. Wow. It's So in relationships, you clothe yourselves with the character of Jesus. You love as you are loved. You forgive as you are forgiven. And then your next point, submit to the peace of Christ. I love what it says here in the text in chapter 3. It says in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now this is what I think this says. It says, Christian, you have to open up the door of your heart to let the peace in. He says, let the peace of Christ rule. You can go, nope, I'm not taking it. I'm not going to take it. And if you'll let it in, the peace of Christ will flood in and you'll have a peace that passes understanding. Romans chapter 5, it says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. Whew. You want to get along with everybody else? Start with God. If you're in here today and if you're at odds with God, give up. His arms are too big and tough for you. You can't box with him. One of my favorite sermons in print says, young man, your arms are too short to box with God. Do not be at odds with him. Put your faith and your hope in Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness. And then it says, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. Let the peace of God rule in your life and be in your life. For some of you, it's like this. Lord, I hate the situation I'm in. I don't want to be here. I'm going to trust you, and therefore I'm going to be at perfect peace because you are my deliverer. Wow. And when you submit to the peace of God, I believe God goes to work, church. He will go to work in relationships like you cannot believe. You know, I'm friends with people today I never thought I could be friends with. And I'm not just like friends, I'm like good friends with people that I would have thought, no, that's not going to happen. But through the blood of Christ, it happens. So submit to the peace of Christ. Here's the next one. Speak the message of Christ. You see that? It says, be thankful. Verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Lord, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I don't know about you folks, but this morning when we were singing What Mercy Did For Me, I was like, it was scary. I was thinking about dancing. I mean, Lord, you found me. That's what mercy did for me. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, you see. Some of you are going, I don't talk like that, Pastor. We can fix that. You see, I'm going to find the psalm here for you. I think I have it marked. I just love this. Are you ready? Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about, listen, with songs of deliverance. Church, what are you speaking? What are you singing? You know, by the time I get done with this next service, Monday morning, I'm going to wake up singing that mercy song. I was so ornery when I came in here last night, and by the time worship was over, I was a human being again. Because we were worshiping. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. He surrounds me. He compasses me about with songs of deliverance. Think about Moses and the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, and the rider and his horses were buried in the Red Sea. And they began to sing songs of deliverance. Speak scripture to people. You don't have to say, well, the Bible says. Now, I knew a public school teacher. Every morning, he would write a proverb on the blackboard. And the students would come in and they would read it. And they go, that's awesome. Where did you get that from? And he would say, from a book I read. You can speak the word of God into people's lives. You can live the word of God in front of people. And they're going to say things to you like, why are you so happy? How do you get through that? Why are you smiling and you work in this place with me? I love that, man. When they say stuff like that, you drive your gospel truck in there, park that baby and unload it. Tell them about Jesus. You see, speak the word of God. Speak the message of Christ. Isn't that what he tells us? I'm telling you, when you go to a Thanksgiving meal, you know, what are you thankful for? Come Wednesday night and tell us, man. I love Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to have testimony. We're going to end with the Lord's Supper. And then you're going to go home and you can eat all you want the next day. But be thankful. Christmas time's approaching. I ask people, what are we celebrating anyway here at Christmas time? It's a great question, isn't it? What are we celebrating? And if they don't say Jesus' birthday, I make sure it comes out somewhere in the conversation. Do you know none of this would happen if Jesus didn't come?
That's right.
As a baby born in a manger, born of a virgin? Speak the message of Christ. Speak the gospel. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but only that, you see, which ministers grace to the hearer, that exhorts them. Speak the message of Christ. Whatever you do, verse 17, do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here's my suggestion to you. When you're celebrating the holidays and you're thinking about doing something, stop and say, hey, Jesus, what do you think about what I'm about to do? I'm here to tell you he'll talk you off of more ledges. He'll say, don't do it, man. Don't do it. And other times he'll say, go ahead. Go ahead, talk to that person. They need talk. They need someone to love them. But talk to him. Ask him, Lord, what about this? What should I do, Lord? You want your life to be exciting? Say, Lord, what should I do right now? What do you have for me? What should I do? Ooh. He'll get you to do things you never dreamt you would do. Scripture says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit, it says. You see, wine will make you do stuff you normally wouldn't do. I'm sure none of you have ever experienced that. But it'll make you do stuff you never were going to do. It'll make you say things you didn't want to say. There's a country song about it. But it says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit will make you do? It'll make you forgive when you never would have forgiven. The Holy Spirit will make you love where you never would have loved. The Holy Spirit will give you the character of Jesus where you never thought you were going to get it. The Holy Spirit will help you forgive where you never thought you would forgive. The Holy Spirit will make you speak the message of the gospel where you never thought you would open your mouth and say it. My son, who's not a pastor, talked to me the other day, and he talked to me about a situation. And I told him, you have to go talk to that person. And he called me back and he said, Dad, I went. And he said, well, they don't want to see me. And I said, you have to ambush them. I did. I said, in the name of Jesus, ambush that person. Just show up. Talk to him. And he called me back and this is what he said. He said, Dad, I talked to him. I prayed for him. He said he began to weep when I prayed. See, church, the Holy Spirit will make you do things you normally wouldn't do because he will put his foot behind you and get you right where you're supposed to be. Act in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Spirit. Love somebody so much that you want to help them. And the Lord just keeps telling me to tell you, you have to get over the yeah buts. Because when the Lord tells you to love an unlovable person, right away I go, yeah, but, Lord. And he says, I know. But the only way they'll change is if you love them. If you speak my word to them. See? You don't give up your righteousness. You don't give up your holiness. You hold fast to the truth, but you love them. You speak God's word to them. And then you act in the name of Jesus. It's powerful. I want to remind you today when the disciples came to the well and Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, they were wondering, what's he doing talking to her? I want people to go, what were you doing talking to that person? And my answer is going to be, I was after a soul. I was fishing. It's relationships. Last point here, give thanks. It says it twice in the text. It says it two times. It says, give thanks. Thanks. It's in the last verse, verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. And it's earlier in the text where it says to give thanks. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, I want to remember what it says in the book when I read what Dean Sherman said. Relationships are so important. Every problem in the world is a relationship problem. Lord, if there's anybody in here who has a relationship problem with you, I pray for healing this very day. That, Lord Jesus, today they would get right with you. They would ask for forgiveness. They would acknowledge you as the Son of God who died on the cross for them. You so loved the world that you died for us. So, Lord, I pray for that relationship. And Lord, if there's one in here that doesn't know you, I pray before they walk out the back door today, they would open their heart to you and you would come in. That you would cleanse them from all unrighteousness and the peace of God would rule in their lives. Then, Lord, for the rest of us, that, Lord, we would deal with relationships the way you've told us. We would clothe ourselves with your character, Jesus, and then we would love as we are loved. We would forgive as we are forgiven, and we would submit to your peace, Lord Jesus, and we would speak your message. And then, Lord, we would act in your name and give thanks. Give thanks to you, Lord Jesus, for the power that you've given us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to take your word this morning, plant it in our hearts. But Lord, I pray that this message would show up in our relationships, that there would be healing in relationships today. And that, Father, there would be salvation through the blood of Jesus because of how we relate to others. They would see our lives and say, I don't know what they have, but I want it. Father, guide and direct us today. And Lord, I pray you would use Mount Zion Christian Church not only to spark revival in the body of Christ, but to make a great awakening here in Lake Geneva. That, Lord, this city would be turned upside down for you. And that, Lord, there would be a great harvest of souls in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hopefully we'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you.